Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
President Trump's tariffs are hitting consumers' wallets and creating challenges for the many small businesses we rely on. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Some small businesses are already feeling the effects of the import taxes the U.S. is levying on nearly all of its trading partners. So what kind of impact are we seeing locally? To get into it, we spoke with small business owners Bruce Wesley, owner of Wesley's Shoe Corral in Hyde Park, and Mark Doyle, founder of Rags of Honor, parent company to Chicago coffee shop Veteran Roasters. We also sat down with Elliot Richardson, president of the Small Business Advocacy Council. Elliot began by filling us in on what kinds of small businesses will be hit hardest.
It looks like just about all small businesses that provide merchandise, that sell things, restaurants, craft breweries. You know, we're still really absorbing what these tariffs mean, Sasha Ann, but, you know, we know aluminum and steel have already had an impact and will have an impact on folks like craft brewers, construction companies, folks who use metal and aluminum to make things. And now with these expanded tariffs, whether it's a 10% tariffs across the board or these individual tariffs on other countries, you know, it seems like it's going to impact a whole variety of different businesses, a vast number of businesses. And, you know, I think we're all trying to get our hands around what that really is going to mean.
Yeah. I mean, you say there, this will hit a variety of businesses. Do you think tariffs will hit small businesses harder than the others?
I really do. I mean, small businesses will pay these increased tariffs. And depending on the level of tariffs, they may need to cut back their operations. They may need to find new vendors. And Sasha Ann, they may need to either absorb smaller margins or pass these increased costs onto their customers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whenever you raise prices on customers, you also risk losing customers, especially if bigger businesses are able to better absorb higher tariffs and don't have to raise their prices. So, you know, that's one way that this is really going to impact small businesses. Small businesses also don't have the resources to buy in bulk like larger companies. So certainly they can't negotiate better prices with new suppliers, and they're going to have to pivot quickly, and they're going to have to try to find a new supply chain if indeed these tariffs hit them at the port.
Right.
You know, where they're purchasing materials and they're purchasing merchandise, and it's going to have a really, really significant impact on small businesses. And that's not even talking about, Sasha, and the uncertainty, which I'm glad to get into, you know, at some point in the future here.
Mark, let's bring you in here. Talk to me about your business and what it is that you do.
So Rags of Honor is a company I started when I got back from Afghanistan 10 years ago. We are a silkscreen and apparel company.
Okay.
We have a sister company, Veteran Roasters, and we actually have a small beer company called R&R Brews. And our mission is to hire homeless and at-risk veterans. But we're in the apparel business. The majority of what we do online for our online store is all made in America. However, we have a large contract with Walmart. And the threshold in the U.S. that was set several years ago is 80% to 85% of your product is made in America, you can list it as made in America. That is the only way that we're able to meet the prices for our Walmart business. And they've been a great partner. They've done so much for Rags of Honor to help us with homeless veterans. However, a small percentage of it gets finished in Mexico.
Mm.
So it's grown here, spun here, dyed here. We ship it across to have some finishing work and then come back to us. That 10% tariff puts us in a very awkward position, which we're just now starting to have conversations with the buyers with, and they're hip to it. They understand what we're going through. But anybody who knows the model at Walmart, big volumes, small margin. They take a small margin, we take a small margin. There's not 10% there for us to give up.
Yeah. So take us inside those conversations. What are they looking like exactly?
Because Walmart has been so committed to Made in America and to veterans causes, I just did a podcast with their CEO a couple of months ago. We are going to figure out a way, hopefully for them to take a little bit, for us to take a little bit, and see if we can ride this out. But closer to home, I will tell you, we're building a facility, just to transition a little bit, down in Pullman, which is, the south side here. And we're building a brew pub. And the brewing kettles are coming from Canada. I have a deposit down, and I already have an invoice. Just that alone adds $60,000 to $70,000 just on that one item. I haven't gotten to the kitchen yet.
Wow.
I could end up having to borrow $1.2 million more just to finish this building if these tariffs hold.
Oh, my goodness. Bruce, you own a shoe store here in Hyde Park. Have you been affected by this yet?
Yes, we're watching things. Of course, we've been affected. We import a lot of shoes from all over, from Spain, Portugal, from South America, from Germany, China, everywhere. Vietnam, a lot of the athletic shoes are all made there. But we're watching things closely. We know that a lot of our customers will spend freely when their retirement accounts are rising, their home values are up, and their future feels secure,
Yes.
Families may start to delay their purchases now, may be less likely to make their seasonal buying trips. So there are a lot of uncertainties in the market with this new administration. Customers become less optimistic. We have a lot of senior customers who rely on fixed incomes that are supplemented from retirement investments. They may particularly be sensitive to the market. This may cause them to reduce purchases. They're less likely to buy gifts, etc.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. What's going to cost more for you, and by how much, you think?
Well, fortunately, in my business, we buy our shoes in 6 to 8 months in advance, so we're locked into prices that were 6 to 8 months ago. It's really more the way I look at it is we're going to have to revise some of our projections, our sales projections, and our expenses. I think that in terms of prices, I always say that you can't cheat on your feet. You gotta your feet, your eyes, your teeth, you can't play with that. You could cheat on your clothes maybe, but not on your feet. And so we always, you get what you pay for.
Yes.
So I'm not going to try to, the customers will have to absorb the price increases that are there. I'm not going to try to compete with Walmart or Amazon. That's not our business. Our business is to supply good quality shoes. And if the prices go up, unfortunately, the prices got to go up,
Right.
So, it's just, you get what you pay for, and we give them the full service. We give them service and that they're not going to get online. Our website has been doing good.
Mm-hmm.
And we're always competitive because our prices are the same prices that you'll buy them on Zappos or any of the other big companies that are out there.
So, Elliot, we recently, of course, heard reports about the closing of the Small Business Administration office here in Chicago and some other cities, and Donald Trump cutting staff. What are the impacts there that'll be felt?
Well, the Small Business Administration is going to cut 2,700 jobs as part of a reorganization. Now, Sachin, what they've said is that the Small Business Administration is not going to change their core programming, and the loss of this workforce is not going to impact their core loans and the things that they do. So access to capital is critical for small businesses. It can be a struggle for small businesses to procure loans and to grow. So I have to say we have to watch it closely. I don't think we understand what's baked in the cake yet. We also know the Small Business Administration is going to take on student loans as well. So they're going to have more to do with less staff.
All right.
And we'll have to see how quickly they'll be able to continue to process loans and do what they need to do to support small businesses.
Yeah. What can small business owners do right now to protect their businesses?
Well, in terms of tariffs, I mean, so there is a tremendous degree of uncertainty out there right now. I mean, there's been different iterations of tariffs, and I'm sure there's small business owners all over who are asking, will the tariffs change? Will deals be made? What do they do about their supply chain, which are very, very difficult to change on a dime, right? So, you know, I think what they can do first is reach out to their legislators from a policy perspective and tell their stories. And if they have some runway, this is the time to talk to politicians and say, this is really important to us. There's certainly value in reshoring and supporting American jobs and manufacturers and the like, but it's happening very, very quickly. And I think small businesses feel that this is being done to them, not with them. And nobody wants to be collateral in a trade war, which they can't control. So first, I think making their voices heard is very important. Secondly, and it sounds like these great business owners on this program are doing this, you know, it's looking at pivoting. Some degree of tariffs are likely here to stay. So what can you do with your supply chains? What can you do with your projections? And how do you adjust to a new world as we hope that there's more transparency that comes in and small businesses are better able to assess the changing landscape?
I want to look to you next, Mark, and talk about that same thing, preparation. What are you doing to prepare? And you heard some of the advice that Elliot had there. Does some of that work for you?
Some of it does, and some of it is, unfortunately. He's right, but it's theoretical. There are only so many places that you can get brewing tanks once they've been ordered. Some come from China already. A lot of the brew pubs around the country have relied on China for the brewing tanks. We wanted to stay in North America. We went with a great company in Canada. It's very hard to pivot because you can't even bring it back to the U.S. because it's already more expensive here, and they're a great trading partner with us. As it relates to coffee, my partner in this business is Tim Kuhn and his wife Patricia from Big Shoulders.
Okay.
And one of the ways that we got insulated is I partnered with them because they are big enough for us to have buying power, and we were growing, and I needed to hire more veterans, I needed a bigger facility, and I needed to have the opportunity to buy more coffee in a longer period of time. So the two-part story, because we had Tim had buying power, we have three containers already paid for, already on our shore. Now, coffee's already at a 50-year high. And so for the small coffee shops around the country and certainly around Chicago, if you're buying on the spot market, it's already so high. You put a 10% tariff on or a 12% tariff on, it is hard to pass that along. And there's nowhere to pivot. If you're buying coffee from Guatemala or Brazil or Africa, the tariffs are the same.
Yeah.
So you just can't pivot. I'll give you a perfect example. In addition to what we've already got here, we had 70 bags that were supposed to be delivered before April 4th. As long as they were on the water by April 4th, no tariff.
Yeah.
They're great growers. They just got behind 70 bags, about 5,000 pounds of coffee.
They missed that April 4th deadline.
On April 6th, it left. It's on the water. Now we have to eat the 10%. So to your point, what are you doing? We're in negotiations with them to say we have to figure this out. But sometimes there's nowhere to pivot.
How are you preparing, Bruce?
Well, we are observing. We have to stream down some of our inventory. We've got to manage it closer, possibly minimizing some of our trendier stuff, going back to more of our core shoes and shoes that have, you know, sometimes the trendier stuff is the extra purchase. And we go to the core product like the Hoka and the New Balance and the just the basic stuff that we always have on hand. And we also we're gonna have to make some cancellations on some of the things. That's definitely gonna be, and we've been in the process of doing that.
So, do you think you'll be forced to pass costs on to your customers?
We in the shoe business, we do what's called minimum advertised pricing. So the manufacturers that we work with, they have a minimum price level that we have to honor, or we can't be one of their suppliers. So if New Balance says this shoe is $110, and on our website we've got it for $99, they police it, and they're like, no, you can't have it that price. So we stick with the what's called the manufacturer's advertised pricing, and we're not discounters because we have overhead, and that's not our business. I'm not in the business of discounting or competing with the Targets and right. the Kmarts and all that stuff.
Right, so gotcha.
We will be passing it on, yes.
When I asked Bruce if he would be forced to pass costs on to customers, you were sort of shaking your head. No.
So it's yes and no. Some of it, like if we had to take these 70 bags, for instance, it's 50 cents a pound more. Compass is one of our distributors, and they're a great partner. But it is tough for their customers to take a 50 cents a pound when they're ordering 500 pounds at a time.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
But to we also, and I understand this from the shoe business, we don't want to race to the bottom. Like the minute you start to discount, I mean, we have a lower price at Walmart because that's who their market is. It's still a $17 t-shirt that we sell online for $25.
Mm-hmm.
But you're in this awkward place. You have to pass it along, and you can't. You don't want to cheapen your product because you don't want to race to the bottom because that hurts everybody.
Right.
So there's just no easy answer here. And there's so much uncertainty out of this particular White House that you can't plan.
Right. Elliot, any small businesses that could benefit from tariffs here?
That I'm not 100% sure on. Certainly I think there's some folks who produce steel here in the United States. Some of the unions for automakers have come out and said these tariffs might be a good idea. Overall, I think that Mark and Bruce have really laid out the case, which is great because we're here talking about small businesses, right? Mm-hmm. About all of the difficulties that small businesses of all types are going to have pivoting, especially given the uncertain environment. And, you know, I think Mark hit it right on the head where he said, you know, but small businesses can try to figure out how to pivot and the changes to make. But doing it in real time while everything's changing all the time as quickly as things are moving right now, it's a daunting task for small businesses that are simply trying to run their businesses, right? There's uncertainty in running a business every day without looming over your head, you know, and changing basically by the hour. So it's a really tough situation for small businesses, lots of anxiety. And hopefully things begin to move in a better direction, a more transparent direction. And there's some relief here for the small business community.
We'll have to leave it here. We've been talking with Elliot Richardson, who's president of the Small Business Advocacy Council, Bruce Wesley, who's owner of Wesley's Shoe Corral in Hyde Park, and Mark Doyle, who's founder of Rags of Honor, a parent company to Chicago coffee shop Veteran Roasters. Thank you so much. This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Jules Yeager and edited by Dan Tucker. It was mixed by Ari Mejia. To never miss an episode and stay connected to Chicago news, politics, and culture, hit subscribe wherever you listen. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll talk again this afternoon.
Love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.